Blog Talk Radio. silent and light, nor wanting nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love.
Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. On this line, this is Sister Powell, Sister Leola, supposed to be the host tonight, but when I opened the line, there were no one. So I opened it. So Sister Leola, if you are on the line and want to host, can you press number one that I will give you their permission? Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Father, we thank you this moment for this privilege that we can enter at your welcome table, Lord. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the blessings that you have restored upon each one of us. We thank you that we can come to fellowship with one each other and also to give you the praise and the glory. Help us, Lord, tonight as we call on this line, that the Holy Spirit will pour out his blessings upon us and help us, Lord, to be faithful. We want to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, welcome to Advent Life, to Prayer Line Ministry. And I am so grateful that the Lord have spared my life that I was able to come on the line to join with my wonderful, beautiful, beloved brothers and sisters on this line. So we are going to start our program, my dear, until our dear beloved sister Leola come in. And our scripture read there this evening, we will read Mark 1, you know, because we have a work to perform. And if we do not really follow these commands, we will not be able to go out to bring souls to the Lord. And we are going to read, and this reading is telling us about the ministry of John the Baptist. So I am going to start to read, my dear beloved, with, and you know, press one that I can open your line. It said, at the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. And we know the messenger that he's talking about is John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ, right? Prepare the way. And the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And there went out unto all the land of Judah and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sin. This is how the missionary work started, my dear beloved. And you see what one man do after he carry out the work, the mission, the work that God have given unto him, the message, and what he has done, and soul was coming into the faith, right? And John was clothed with camel ear and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, and the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. And he is talking, the one that is going to come is Jesus Christ. Right? And he said, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, we all need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because when the Holy Ghost, that is the latter rain, you know, fall upon God's people, we will be able to go out with great power in the community, in everywhere we turn, to present the gospel message of truth to the world, right? And to let them know Jesus is coming soon. We have seen all the things and the signs of the time that is telling us that he is coming. So I will just stop there and just read a little comment before I started to open the line. As we have been reading the ministry of John the Baptist, right? And this is the ministry that we have to take up for this time, that we can go in the community, go wherever we go. John, they go all over and to present this gospel truth so that people will come to Christ. It said the time for Jesus to work has come, and tidings of the wilderness prophet and his wonderful announcement spread throughout Galilee, and that is John's message throughout Galilee. So we have a message to present throughout the world, brothers and sisters. So let us start by opening the line, and we remember we're going back into this reading of John's ministry because we want to, you know, catch the fever. We want to get this light that we too can follow these wonderful, wonderful command, you know, and practice that we can practice to go out. So I'm going to start to open the line. Oh, this thing is bothering me here. Okay, all right. 225-558, your line is open.
Good evening, Sister Powell. My son, Gray, has my line open because I'm driving right now. But I want to thank you. I'm just, I'm not quite home, but I'll be there in about 5 or 10 minutes or something like that. But I want to thank you for opening the line. We had a bit of traffic, a lot of traffic. So by God's grace, we're getting home late. And I'm grateful to know that the backup is there, that the Lord's work is still being done. So I want to thank you. And I will be able to join in right after I get Brother Ray something to eat when I get home. So I want to thank you again for opening the line. And also for sharing about John the Baptist and the work that he has done and the continual work that Christ wants us to do. This is what the gospel is all about. So thank you. And Brother Dre is on the prayer line and he's listening. And these things that the young people know and how they, how this helped them in their lives and what they should do. So thank you so much for being a good representative of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leila, for coming on, even though coming in, joining us, even though you were driving, you know, you still, you know, share on the line and to let us know what is going on. Father, we are going to pray now, Sister Leola. Brother John is traveling. Lord, we ask you, dear Father, to give them traveling mercy so that they will reach home safe. Father, protect them on the road. We know that the enemy is out like a roaring lion, but we ask you, Lord, to cover them, Lord, and allow them to reach safely. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. We thank you for what you are doing even now, Lord, and also bless the other drivers on these streets that they will be mindful to be more careful, Lord, in their driving. We ask you to bless Sister Leola and also Brother John. Thank you for Sister Leola. Call, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to open this line. 985-232, your line is open. 985-232, your line is open.
Good evening, Sister Powell. It's Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank you for being a good child of God and opening the lines and always on God's duty. And I would like to just thank you for being our mother and I will everything that God wants you to be. Thank God you are God's gift, because we have to have somebody to do the work. Amen. So I want to read a devotion prayer. What a wonder it is to be alive. Oh, Lord on high, forgive me for taking this gift for granted. With each breath that I take, I want to love you a little bit more. With each passing moment my body ages and your creation crumble a bit. However, with the sturdy faith, I will get closer to the day that we join each other in heaven. I long for this day, my God, but vow that I shall not waste my time here on earth. Thank you, God. I love you. Amen. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful words of God. We love him dearly, and he's sweet, I know. Every day he wakes us up, we know he's sweet, and we give him the honor, the glory, and the we lift him up, and we continue to praise him, because we wouldn't be able to make it in this little sinful world without him. And thanks for his son who died for us. So I just want to ask for prayer for being like them, go stronger and continue in the word. We have a faithful family member and all those that's missing. May they come back and continue getting their blessings and the gift of God, because right now nobody can afford to stay away too long, because it's bad out here and they need the love and the gift from God. And we just want to continue praying for them and praying for all of the sick, the homeless, the sickness that are running into us like crazy, and all the ones that are sleeping outside, and ask God to lift up all. He know what all everybody needs. Amen. Hold on a minute.
Yeah, this is John from Louisiana. Brother John, I'd like to say hello to everybody. And like my wife said, God knows all of our needs and everything, and all we have to do is lean toward him and ask him to watch over us as we help ourselves to do better, and pray to him and just keep in touch with him by praying with him like that, because I do that now. I pray to him a lot. Whenever I think about it, I want to keep the communication with him always. And I see what I was missing in my life without God back then. I knew something was missing. I couldn't pinpoint what was missing out of my life, but and I realized I tried a lot of things, so we tried God now. And it was a big difference.
Mm.
Mighty big difference. And that's when he just poured out his blessings to me and continued to bless me. And I realized that he's with me always. Because no matter, even some days don't be too good, but I think about the goodness of God, and no matter how bad the days are, when the bad days come, I think about the goodness of him and just brighten my day to know that someone is watching over us and protecting us through no matter what happens until the storm passes. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming and sharing powerful testimony about the goodness of God, and Sister Brenda in our prayer, and also sharing, asking the Lord for his mercies and his blessings towards us, and to bring back all those who used to be on the line, and he's praying. And Brother John is praising God for what he has done for him in his life. He's the Lord that changed his life totally, you know, because he humbled himself, surrender all to the Lord, and the Lord is using Brother John and Sister Brenda. And we are so thankful, grateful, you know, to know that we can be on this line to hear these wonderful testimony of praise what God have been doing in the life of our brothers and sisters. So, Brother John and Sister Brenda, we just praying for you that God will continue to pour out your blessing, that your light will shine wherever you go, as we were just reading about the ministry of John the Baptist and how he was in the wilderness, you know, praying, preaching to all those who he come contact with. And his life was a life of purity. His life was a life of obedience to the will of God and his command that God had given unto him. He was able to go out and demonstrate the character of Christ. So, Brother John, continue to keep up the good work. And, you know, we will be always praying for you, Brother John and Sister Brenda. And I know that souls are going to come into the kingdom because of the work that you and your wife is doing on others. So we want to thank you. Thank you, my dear, again, and asking our brothers to and sister to press number one. Right? We know that as we were reading the work that John have done, and brothers and sisters, we are nearing home now, and we know we have a work to be performed out there. So let us listen to some of the instruction from John, what he has done, that we can always follow it. It said, the message reached to the peasant. John's message reached to the peasant and in the remote hill and town, right? And in the fishers by the sea. So his message when he was preaching, it reached to the peasants, right? The simplest, those who could not hear the message, you know, because they wasn't able to go where the message is. But John went to them and he present the message. And those people earnestly hear and believe, and the message reached the heart, just as our dear beloved brother John had said, after it reached their heart, they were able to go and share with others. It said it was simple, right? Indeed, simple. So his message was just simple, that everyone could understand, right, his message. Ernest has found its most response. And it said the Nazareth, it was told in the shop that what had happened being Joseph and our recognition of the call, right? So this message was going out like a hot bread. So brothers and sisters, what we have to do, the everlasting gospel that God have given unto us, the three angel message, the present truth message, for us to go out and share this gospel message out there. And people will ask, what is the present truth message? And we all here on this line can share that the present message is to let people know Jesus is coming soon, right? Prepare yourself, ourselves to meet him. And also, there are a lot more in the present truth message. Present truth message is to tell that we as God's people have to be ready. We have to have the character of Christ. We have to denounce the sin and have victory over sin. These are the message for this time. The message for this time, we are telling the people out there, as we have read, that there will be this the message with the dead, the state of the dead. That is also because we do know that that is coming, a big issue that you see that what they are stating and saying about the dead, all that. And also, brothers and sisters, this is these are the message, right? We should be out there telling people, but let us, our life, that we, our life is right with the Lord. And if our life is not right with the Lord, we will not be able to carry the gospel message out there. So, brothers and sisters, let us be faithful. Excuse me a little, but hello? No, may we call you back? All right. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, God is good. He is able to do all things. So I'm going to open the line. You know, I'm asking you to press 1 so that I can open your line. 857-505, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Hello, beloved. Hello, Sister Powell. My name is Brother Eli. I like to thank God, Sister Powell, because God is good. He's awesome. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Powell. God is awesome. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Powell. I have a prayer request tonight, Sister Powell. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Powell. Sister Powell, my mom needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to pray for our dear brother, Jahari. Sister Power, lift up brother Jahari in prayer, Sister Power. Just like you say, Sister Power, continue to pray for brother Jahari because he needs a lot of prayer, Sister Power. That young man needs the Lord. He needs Jesus Christ, Sister Power. Brother Jahari needs to baptize in the name of the Lord. Pray for our dear brother Isma. Pray for Sister Shamika, Sister Powell. Pray for Sister Katiana, Sister Powell. Don't forget to pray for our dear Sister Tamiko. Lift up Sister Tamiko in prayer. Don't forget to pray for her daughter-in-law, Sister Powell, Sister KDN. Lift up Sister KDN, Sister Powell. That Sister KDN will go to Bay Cove Human Services, Sister Powell. Pray for Sister KDN and she can have a job, Sister Powell. Pray for Sister KDN and she can go to a day program, Sister Powell. And she will work with clients and staff, Sister Powell. Pray for Sister KDN. Pray for Brother Taiwan. Live for Brother Taiwan in prayer, Sister Powell. And Sister Powell, tell Brother Akeem James to come in my house, Sister Powell, because I want Brother Akeem James to come to my house one of these days, Sister Powell. I want Brother Akeem come to my house one of these days, Sister Powell, and pray with me because I need a lot of prayer. So, Sister Powell, when Brother Akeem is finished, Sister Powell, preach and tell him to come to my house one of these days
okay.
In Boston.
All right, Brother. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for coming and sharing. You know, we hear the power in your voice and, you know, the joy in your heart. Sure, we will be, you know, praying for your mom, Jahari, Javel, Shamiko, Hisma, Jenny, and Tamiko, Miss Pasiana, and KDN, and all your others. And ask my Brother Akin. You know, Hakeem, Brother Elder Hakeem is doing the missionary work all over, Brother Eli, you know, but, you know, you can ask him. Lord, you are inviting him to come to your house. So God is good. He's so great. God is worthy to be praised, my dear brother.
Amen.
I'm going to open this line that we can offer a word of prayer and asking my brothers and sisters to press number 1, right? I am going to open this line here. 2,
hello,
2,
Sister Powell. Yes, good evening. Good evening, Sister Powell. This is Tymiko Preston calling from Pennsylvania, and I have a song to sing to share with my beloved brothers and sisters. God bless you all. And thank you, Brother Eli, for praying for me and my family. I'm so grateful. God bless you. I give the Lord praise and honor and glory because without the Lord, we can do nothing and we would be nothing. So I thank him so much for each and every day and all that he does for me. I'm so grateful. Praise the Lord. Amen. For standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let us praise Him. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of God of fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, my dear sister. Would I be able to read a small scripture?
Oh, sure, sure.
Amen. I'd like to read Psalms 91. Amen. I'll just read a small verses. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much.
Amen.
This power for opening my line. God bless you all. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, my dear beloved. Standing on the promises of God. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have to stand on His promises. You know, only Him and Him alone. And we have to pray that He will continue to pour out His blessings upon us. You know, if there is no other time we need Him now. You know, all around us we look, my dear brothers and sisters. It's just trouble, trouble all around. And without Him, you know, we have to realize that we have a loving Savior who is able to hear our cry and help us. And as we have been reading what took place we saw the baptism of Jesus, right, with John, right, after John's ministry and what he has done, right? And it said here, the baptism, and press number one, that I can open your line. It said, and it came to pass those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. So we saw that John had baptized the Savior, the first in Nazareth, and he was baptized in Jordan, right? And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. That's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, right? Brothers and sisters, that's what we need, so that the Holy Spirit, the Lathering Spirit, will come all down upon us so that we will be able to be ready to go out there in the vineyard to do aggressive evangelism, to draw souls to Christ. And we saw what John have done in that wilderness while you were there, presenting the present true message at that time. So we have the present true message at this time so that we should be able to go and share it wherever we go. So I'm so grateful to know that God have a people here, my brothers and sisters, who are really ready and prepared to go out there to bring souls to Christ by sharing the gospel truth to the world, the everlasting gospel. Yes, my dear beloved, welcome again on this line, and I'm going to open 631-552. Your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Pleasant good night, Sister Powell. Pleasant good night, brothers and sisters. And I'd like for your line, this is Brother O'Neill calling from NY. Present good night, Sister Paul. Present good night, brothers and sisters. On Advent Light Prayer Line, it's a blessing to be on the line. Thank God for His goodness and His grace and His mercy. Let me check the audio. You hear me now?
Yes, a little volume. Yes, a little volume. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna share as well. You came just for me. No palace, no jewels, no kingdom to rule, no crown of majesty, no throne and no robe, no silver, no gold, no courts of royalty. Yet the King of Kings left heaven to become a lowly man. He left all heaven's glory to fulfill His Father's plan. Yet He came just for me, yes He came. And in pardon Him in God. And in Father to the cross. From the major to the cross. Yes He came, yes He came. Just for me. No family, no friends to help at the end. No hope, no such beauty. Much pain and much hurt to give love and work. He bore our sins and grief. Yet the hope of what He offers, so what great part we must learn. You choose to be my victor, and to assure my pardon was. He's came just for me, yes He came. Knowing all He could endure, yes He came. Disregarded every cause, from the major to the cross. He still came just for me, He still came. No family, no friends to help at the end. No heart, no substitute. Much pain and much hurt to give love and word. He bore our sins and grief. Yet the hope of what he offered, so awake what we must done. He chose to be my victor and assured my pardon won. He still came just for me, he still came. Knowing all that would endure, he still came. Disregarded every cost, from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me, he still came. Disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me, he still came.
I'm going to share a quote before I go.
Amen, amen.
And share a quote before I go.
Sure.
Testimony, Volume 5, page 492. And this is a chapter that each and every one of us must read. The behavior in the house of God. The behavior in the house of God. Chapter 55 of Testimony, Volume 5. It says, to the humble believing soul, the house of God on earth is the gate of heaven. The song of praise, the prayer, the words spoken by Christ's representatives are God's appointed agency to prepare people for the church above, for that loftier worship into which there can enter nothing that defiles. From the sacredness which was attached to the earthly sanctuary, Christians may learn how they should regard the place where the Lord meets with his people. There has been great change, not for the better, but for the worse, in the habits and custom of the people in reference to religious worship.
Brother O'Neill. Brothers and sisters, seems like Brother O'Neill had a drop. Yes, it's mad that he dropped. Let us pray that God will allow him to get back. All right, brothers and sisters. Oh, yes, he's back. Okay? Brother O'Neill, your line is open.
Yeah, I'm back now. It says, the precious, the sacred things which connect us with God are fast losing their hold upon our minds. I'm going to read back that part. It says, the precious, sacred things which connect us with God are fast losing their hold upon our minds and hearts and are being brought down to the level of the common things. The reverence which the people had anciently for the sanctuary, where they met with God in sacred service, has largely passed away. Nevertheless, God himself gave the order of his service, exalting it high above everything of temporal nature. This last one, as I close, it says, the house is a sanctuary for the family, the closet or the grove, the most retired place for individual worship, but the church is a sanctuary for the congregation. There should be rules in regard to the time, the place, and the manner of worship. Nothing that is sacred, nothing that pertains to the worship of God should be treated with carelessness or indifference. In order that men may do their best work in showing forth the praises of God, the association must be such as will keep the sacred distinct from the common. In their minds, those who have broad ideas, noble thoughts and aspiration are those who have associations that strengthen all thoughts of divine things. Happy are those who have a sanctuary, be it high or low, in the city or among the rugged mountain caves, in the lowly cabins or in the wilderness. If it is the best they can secure for the Master, he will allow the place with his presence, and it will be holy unto the Lord of hosts. As we see when Moses went up into the mount, when he killed the Egyptian and he had to run away. and he went to do to recuperate his mind and all of that, supposed to meet God. And you see the burning bush, and when he went towards the burning bush, and as he reached there, a voice said, "Take off your shoes, because your place that you are standing is holy ground." That was in the bush, right? And that was God's presence was there, so that make the place what? Holy. So when you come into the house of God, in as the writings that normally write up in every church is, "Reverence my sanctuary. Reverence my sanctuary." But many has forgotten. Many common talks start being portrayed in the sanctuary now. Many things are, which is unholy things. So we have to get back to the way that God wants his people to live and to recognize him as holy, and the things that's pertaining to him is holy. Thank you, Sister Paul, for opening my life.
All right. All right, Brother O'Neill, we just want to thank you for joining. Thank you for the beautiful song and also that reading, brothers and sisters. The place where thou standest is holy ground. God's sanctuary is holy, and we have to start to practice it from now, brothers and sisters, that not only, and just as how we are holy and we're supposed to be holy, he's expecting this house of God should be holy. And we have to continue to pray for us, Lord, brothers and sisters, because you know what, the things that is happening, even in the house of God, that should not happen. You know, ask the Lord to touch the leadership so that they will know that God's house is not a house of den a thief. Just as what he has done, we saw what Christ, we read what Christ had done in the sanctuary. When he went and he saw what they were doing in the sanctuary, and we saw what he has done. So the house of God threw them out. And brothers and sisters, we have a lot to do. We have a lot to do now. This morning we had a conversation with some elders, and we were just sharing, and it's the same thing we were discussing, that God's sanctuary is a holy sanctuary, but the things that we do in there is very unholy, and God is not pleased with us. So I thank Brother O'Neill for that presentation, that quote, and also that song. Brothers and sisters, we have a work to do. So let us continue to pray for each other so that God will pour out that extra blessing, that latter rain. Spirit, remember when the Lord, when John baptized the Father, what took place right after he went down, and straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. That Spirit will have to be descending upon us, brothers and sisters, so that we will be able to be ready to go and carry out the work. So I'm going to open the line for Sister Leola, and then we think we should have prayer. Sister Leola, you can stand for, you can take over. Right. Thank you, my dear.
Sister Powell, but I'm so sorry. I'm going to need you because I'm just getting home, but I wanted to share. I'm going to need you, and then I'll take over after I'm finished with Brother Ray. But I want to share this. I want to share this scripture, and then I want to pray. This is coming from Matthew, and this is a continuation on John, what you were talking about. But instead of speaking of John, in this scripture from verses 8 through verses 15, Christ is speaking of himself. And he said, "But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment?" He said, "Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses." The king's houses. "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is the least kingdom of heaven is greater than he. 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered with violence, and the violence took it by force. 13. And for all the prophets and the law, and all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. And brothers and sisters, and I can see that is Christ in this whole thing talking about himself. Because from verse 8, it's saying, when you went, they went out to see the man clothed in soft clothing, he said, that is for a king to wear, and that's war. And then verses 9 says that, but he went out to see a prophet, but he said, no. Yes, they went out to see a prophet, but he said, yea, I say unto you, this man was more than a prophet, which was Christ. And the third one said, but he sent his messengers to prepare the way, meaning that he sent John and all others to prepare the way for Christ. All this is telling you about our Savior. And verse 11, he said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, it said, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So we know there was none risen than greater than John the Baptist. None other than Christ was the greater one. So praise God for his word. And 10 and 13, I love 13. He said that the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and violence took it by force. So Christ had to die for our sins. And guess what he did? And when he said he went down to hell and took the key, and he did it all, sisters and brothers. He said he took it by force. Now, I'm thinking I'm underneath standing these scriptures right, but I'm going to get some more study on it. But when I read it, this is powerful. And I want to read the last two over again. It says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And 14, and if you receive it, this is Isaiah, which was to come. What's that? You know, was that Christ to come? And but not only, the Bible says, when the word of God needs to be preached, we are that Elijah now. We are the one to go and give out that word. And verse 15 is the last verse. It says, he that have an ear, let him hear. So we have to read and study God's word and pray and ask the Spirit of God to teach us, and he will do it. So we're going to go into prayer because Brother Akeem should be on now. So let us pray and ask the Lord to be with us and give us wisdom and understanding tonight. Our Father, we come to thee tonight, Father, on the prayer line. Lord Father, we come to hear the word. We come to accept your word, Father, and that you would help put away sin, Father, to help us to love you and to keep your word. Oh, Father, as I lift up my brothers and sisters on the prayer line, Father, to ask you, Father, to give us strength, to help us and lead and guide us. Father, we ask in you, Father, teach us thy word. Father, there have been many years that we had not understand, but Father, we see that the understanding is coming clearer because you said in the last days your people will be wiser. So Heavenly Father, as people are becoming wiser, we asking you, Father, to help us to pay attention, to help us to get understanding. And Father, we pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to to pour out upon us. While we get in understanding, while we learn it, you say get understanding. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would please have mercy, all of us, Lord. We have sinned and come short of the glory. But, Lord, now we ought to be made perfect. We ought to be watching. We ought to be praying and continue to wait on the Lord. And when he comes, that we need to be ready. So, Heavenly Father, as we lift up also Brother Akeem, while he bring this message, Lord, have mercy. Help us to get it. Help us to understand. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to teach each and every one, Lord. It may not be understood with everything, but you say we understand it by and by. So, Heavenly Father, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us tonight and help us, Father, in our daily walk with you, in that we may just talk with you. We may praise you and give you thanks because, indeed, you are helping us on a daily basis. So we're thanking you, Father, even for the safe traveling mercy. You have carried us to New Orleans and all through the city, and, Father, for getting us back here safe. Thank you. And also thanking you, Father, for the brothers and sisters that join on the prayer line to listen to the word. I'm asking you to bless each and every one. Thank you for Sister Powell, Father, for her hosting and coming on to do your work, Father. It's nothing to give glory to no one, but, Father, you get the honor and glory for your daughter doing what you have called her to do. So we're thanking you for the blessing that you have given to her and all that bring the word or teach the word. So now, Lord, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to be with Brother Akeem as he bring the word to each and every one on the prayer line. Let each and every one understand what you will give them. And we thanking you and your son, Jesus' name, which is Yeshua. Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Power.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, we open. The next voice you will hear is Brother Akeem. Yes, my dear beloved, the next voice you will hear is our dear beloved Brother Akeem James. 301-340, right. Your line.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Glad to be back this evening. And as we go into the Word of God, I pray that our hearts and minds will be strengthened, and we are continuing in our study in Revelation chapter 18. And so as we go into this, let's just have one more word of prayer, and we'll commence. Father in heaven, guide our minds and hearts. Draw us ever closer to you as we study your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So Revelation 18, we saw in Revelation chapter 17 over the past few weeks how the papal system will rise up again as a result of an initiative movement that will commence in the United States of America, specifically Protestantism in the United States of America. This is how the papal system, its power, will be revived. And so that's one of the reasons that we were saying, while, yes, it is true that, yes, in certain cases, the papacy is gaining traction in the world, the traction that the Bible is looking at is the traction that ultimately brings the papacy to worldwide dominance again. And that is the traction it receives from the United States. As a result of Protestantism in the United States giving its power over to the papal system, according to Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 and onward, what ends up happening is that the rest of the world, not only religiously, but also civilly, as it concerns the political leaders of the world, will follow the USA in that initiative. And as a result, at that moment, as a result of that initiative started by Protestantism within the US, what will happen is that the whole world will follow and the papacy will it will stand on an even higher plane than it did in the time of the Reformation, in the time when it had supremacy during the Dark Ages. It will stand even higher than that. And we are told in inspiration that as bad as it was during that time, when the papacy was dominant during the Dark Ages, it will be even more intense when the papal system and Protestantism unites. That's when it's going to get really intense. And so in light of that, we found out that there will be a union, which we have not yet seen, which will come about as a result of that, where all the kings of the earth will ultimately render their power unto the papacy. Ultimately, yes, they will turn on the papacy after a short time, but it will come to a point for a short while that the papal system and all the civil powers and religious powers of the world will unite. And so during that time, before and during that time, one of the things that we are told in Revelation chapter 18 is as that time is going along, the papacy is gaining traction in the world, and then ultimately the United States brings it to a whole new level. And that is what the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy is covering. So while, yes, we're seeing certain things happening with the Pope and the papacy right now, friends, even though, yes, it is true that to a degree the Spirit of Prophecy covers that and the Bible covers that, what it really focuses on is when things go down here in this nation that will ultimately give the papal system power that we have not even begun to see. And so as that happens, just before and during that time, the reason that this happens is because the devil will see a revival, the sparks, I should say, of a revival. And we are told in the book Great Controversy that just before the time of the true revival taking place or exploding, Satan, seeing it coming, he will initiate a false revival. And so this lets us know, why does Satan initiate the false revival at the end of time? It is because he sees the sparks of a true revival in God's people. And just before it explodes, he will start up a true revival to lead people astray. So what initiates the false revival of Satan? What initiates his loud cry? It is because he sees something happening among God's people. That's when everything is really going to go down. And this is the sparks of this, the explosion of it, is revealed in Revelation 18. And that's what we've been looking at. As the papal system gains traction in the world beyond what we can ever imagine, when the United States unites with the papal system along with all the kings of the earth, when that happens, as that will be happening, and just before it happens, and as it's happening, Revelation 18 will be taking place. Revelation 18, and we studied it last week, and after these things I saw another angel, that means a message come down from heaven, having great power. We found out that that word power in the original language, the Greek language, Koine Greek, actually is the word authority. So I saw another angel come down from heaven having great authority. And where is God's authority centralized? Of course, his word. And that which the word is a breakdown of, even God's law, the very place where the signature of God is, the very place where his seal is placed in the fourth commandment. So the law of God will be uplifted, but along with the law, it says, and the earth was lightened with his glory. That is his character, as it is revealed in the gospel. For the glory of God, according to Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, Moses asked God to see his glory. Exodus chapter 34 verses 5 through 7, God reveals his glory. But when he reveals his glory, nothing was mentioned of the light that emanates from him, even though I'm sure it was a very bright scene. I know that for a fact. But what was emphasized in the scriptures was not the brightness of God, but rather his character. Therefore, the glory of God is his character. And it mentions his characteristics in Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. He himself says, merciful, long-suffering, gracious, abundant in mercy and truth. All of these things, and a God of judgment. But all of these things summed up is God's character. And how can we define God's character in one word?
First John chapter 4 and verse 8, it tells us, he that loveth not his brother knows not God, for God is love. Therefore, the glory of God is a revelation of the character of God, which is a revelation of the love of God. Where is that love revealed? In its greatest, to its greatest extent, it is found at Calvary. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, for God demonstrates his love toward us, or God commendeth, meaning to demonstrate, that we can see it. God commendeth his love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. So do you see what the love of God is then? How does God's love look? It looks like the cross. It looks like Jesus dying on Calvary for us. So therefore, the glory of God is a revelation of the character of God, which is a revelation of the love of God, which was revealed in its greatest extent at Calvary. Therefore, if the world is to be illuminated at the end by the glory of God, as the waters cover the sea, it must mean then that the message of Calvary will once again be uplifted, like never before. The world will see uplifted in the lives of the people, this movement mentioned in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1, a revelation of the crucified Christ. They will see a revelation of the crucified Savior as never before. Therefore, it is not just the law that will be uplifted, but the gospel will be uplifted. The law and the gospel will be revealed at the end of time. And as this is revealed, friends, along with this message now demonstrated in the lives of the saints. And notice, this is when the devil brings about the false revival in Protestantism, as he sees the sparks of this movement. Great Controversy says, seeing that this is about to happen, which means the devil has his eye is seriously on the people of God. It's seriously on the remnant. He is watching. Friends, and not only that, he knows the prophecies. But it's not just that he knows the prophecies. He knows the prophecy concerning the coming revival. And when he begins to see the sparks of that, that is when he will anticipate that this revival is going to explode. And what will he do? In anticipation of that, he will start off, before that time comes, a false revival. That's the false revival that will ultimately lead to Protestantism consolidating in apostasy, and then miracles and signs and wonders will be done. And at that moment, friends, the apostasy will become so strong that the power that is being manifested, which is demonic in nature, will then be given over to the papal system. This power that Protestantism will have, both not only in the spiritual sphere, but spiritually, what I mean by that is demonic spiritual. They will connect with the papal system. And as that happens, great chaos will take place. But at that time, just before and leading up to that time, the great revival takes place. So you see what really brings on this catastrophic, chaotic move by the devil? It is because he sees the signs of the revival. And as he sees the sparks of it, he moves. And God allows him to move because he knows, okay, my people are harmonizing with me. Therefore, all that the prophecies have foretold, all that I have said will come to pass, now I can remove my hand on this portion to allow it to happen. But friends, it's as the sparks of the revival begins, as the revelation and the uplifting of the law and the gospel take place like never before, it is at that moment that the final movements will become so intense that, friends, it will be on a whole other level compared to what we're seeing today. It says here, now, as that demonstration is being given, Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2 tells us this. It says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying,
Babylon the Great is fallen. Now notice, this comes after the demonstration of love is given. So the demonstration of love, the uplifting of the law and the gospel, which is both a revelation of God's love. One, the law, which was given for protection to keep us from the evil way, the standard of righteousness. But we have transgressed it. So what has God done? He has revealed his love in Jesus, the very author of the law, by him coming down and dying for us to take away the law's penalty, which is death, and the law's power over us. And so as this happens, friends, and the people begin to see this in our lives, and friends, as I've been studying more and more, God has been bringing back to me that this revelation will be so systematic that it will blow our minds. It will be so systematic. It will be a work that will be done of such self-sacrificing love and order that it will blow the world away. This is why the devil will move with such intensity. It says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. So as this demonstration is given now, the people's hearts are open because they've seen us coming close to them. They've seen us doing acts of sacrificial service, demonstrating the sacrificial, self-sacrificing life that was manifested on the cross. As this principle begins to live and dwell and manifest in our lives, begin to be manifested in our lives, what happens next? The hearts of the people are open, and then we give this message. Verse 2, and he cried mightily, this movement will cry mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon the Great, which we found out is the papacy, is fallen. And friends, remember, connected with the papacy is her daughters, right? So Babylon the Great are her daughters, right? So it says Babylon the Great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, fallen angels. So now, and this is what it says, I want to read this to us. This is found in Great Controversy. Let me go there. Chapter 36, one of my favorite chapters in the Great Controversy, the final warning. This is what it says there at the beginning of that chapter. All right? Now, while it is true that, actually not 36, 38. While it is true that there has already been apostasy and devils at work in the fallen churches and in the papacy, friends, it's going to be on a whole other level. And inspiration tells us the time when that apostasy really took off. It says it hasn't always been this way. Even though there have been aspects of papal doctrine in the Protestant churches, it was never really recognized as Babylon until a certain point because of those doctrines and because of the rejection of the second advent of Christ. There was a certain point when truly demonic forces were truly working from a specific time onward in the Babylonian system. When was that? Look at this. It says in Great Controversy, chapter 38, first paragraph, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, which is the same as devils, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, which is the same as devils. It's talking about the same thing, just saying it in different ways. So devils, foul spirit, evil spirit, and cage of unclean and hateful birds is the same as saying fallen angels. So it had become the habitation. Now they had found their resting place in the Babylonian systems because of what? They were receiving the doctrines of devils. They had now fully embraced it. But when did this start? It continues. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. That's Revelation chapter 18, verses 1, 2, and 4. But notice when this apostasy began. This scripture points forward to a time when the announcement of the fall of Babylon is made by the second angel, Revelation 14:8. So it's talking to the fallen churches of Revelation 14:8, is to be repeated. So not just the papacy, but all the fallen churches, the scripture points forward to a time when the announcement of the fall of Babylon as made by the second angel is to be repeated. When? Revelation 18. But now it comes with the additional mentions of the corruptions which have been entering the various organizations that constitute Babylon since when? Since that message was first given in the summer of 1844. Do you see when the apostasy really began? So even though those churches had things that remained in them even after the Reformation, they had not totally reformed. Where the reform ended immaturely, prematurely, is where the apostasy began. And that's crucial. Where the Reformation ended, because the churches, as they were raised up or as they came into existence, either during the time or after the time of the Reformer that they may have been named after or that they were built after, they never moved forward and continually advanced in the light. And where they ended in their advancement, the apostasy began. But it really took off. So for example, yeah, you may have men that rose up as a result of a movement that rose up as a result of John Wesley, the Methodist movement, or you may have the Lutheran movement that rose up as a result of the efforts of Luther, and Calvinists as a result of the efforts of Calvin. These men had light that they brought to the people. But friends, they never fully reformed. And as a result, the places where they lacked reformation, the devil found a foothold later on. Hence, when Charles Fitch began to preach the message in 1844, just before the Great Disappointment, he began to preach because they had rejected the message of the Second Coming, and also they had other doctrines among them, among these movements that were not according to the Word of God, such as the immortality of the soul, and everlasting hellfire, eternal hellfire, also the doctrine that Sunday was the Sabbath. Because these things were happening, because Reformation did not take place concerning those doctrines, this is where the devil found a foothold in those churches from 1844 onward. And the churches have been steadily from that time going deeper and deeper into their apostasy until finally, when the time for Revelation 18 comes to be fulfilled, the apostasy will be complete. It will be complete. It will finally come to a point where angels, since 1844, fallen angels have been becoming more and more comfortable. But of course, there's been some resistance in areas. And of course, men may not even realize that they're resisting evil angels. But there's coming a time where finally there will be no resistance to the influence of fallen angels. Finally, fallen angels will find their rest, their habitation in these fallen churches. That time is still to come. And it will become really intense at that moment. Hence, she says, this scripture points forward to a time when the announcement of the fall of Babylon as made by the second angel is to be in Revelation 14, is to be repeated, and you could say in Revelation 18, with the additional mention of the corruptions which have been entering. So corruptions have been continually entering, but from what time? The various organizations that constitute Babylon since the message was first given in the summer of 1844. A terrible condition of the religious world is here described. So we think it's bad now. Friends, it's not bad now. A lot of people are focusing on the initiatives of the papacy, but friends, things really go down when Protestantism, the churches that constitute Babylon, really take on the Babylonian spirit. And this is what is being looked at here. This is when it really goes down. We think it's going down right now. And of course, it's not to say that prophetic things aren't happening right now. But friends, Revelation 18 is still yet to take place. A terrible condition of the religious world is here described. With every rejection of truth, the minds of the people will become darker, their hearts more stubborn,
until they are entrenched in an infidel hardihood. In defiance of the warnings which God has given, they will continue to trample upon one of the precepts of the Decalogue until they are led to persecute those who hold it sacred. So this is another step. We aren't there yet. This is when they say, okay, you know what? It's not just that we're going to trample on Sunday, but it's now that we're going to persecute those who keep Sabbath. It's not just that we're going to reverence Sunday, I should say, and trample on the Sabbath, that we're now going to take a step further and persecute those who keep the Sabbath holy, the 7 day. So now it reached the persecution, the antagonistic spirit reaches to a new level. Christ is set at naught in the contempt placed upon his word and upon his people. As the teachings, and it's not just the Sabbath issue, the next part says, as the teachings of spiritualism are accepted by the churches, the restraint imposed upon the carnal heart is removed, and the profession of religion will become a cloak to conceal the basest iniquity, a form of godliness denying the power thereof. A belief in spiritual manifestations, because they don't have the right view of the state of the dead, a belief in the spiritual manifestations opens the door to seducing spirits. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. To seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And thus the influence of evil angels will be felt in the churches. Of Babylon at the time brought to view in this prophecy, it is declared, her sins have reached unto heaven, and God had remembered her iniquities. So notice, it is when angels, evil angels, finally have a firm foothold and resting place in these fallen churches. And that's growing by the moment, by the day, by the year. But there's coming a time when it will finally be established. When that time takes place, and the corruption as a result of that taking place goes to the great extent, a way more corrupt than we can ever imagine, it is then that the judgment will come. It is then that we hear the statement, her sins have reached unto heaven. That means judgment is coming. And what is the how does that judgment come in the last days? It comes in the form of the seven last plagues. So soon after this, this is why in the very next chapter, chapter 39, we see probation closing. We see Michael standing up. The closing of the third angel's message is about to happen. Hence, chapter 39 begins with Michael standing up. So it begins with Michael standing up, Daniel 12:1, and then it goes back just a little bit before Michael stands up. Because the second paragraph says when the third angel's message closes. So it goes to the point where it closes, and then it continues from there, which is probation closing, all cases are decided. Why? Chapter 39, the loud cry is happening, souls are making their final decisions, cases are being sealed, either with the reception of the mark of the beast or with the seal of God. And as this is happening, what is the last call that's given? It continues by saying in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of fallen angels, devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, symbol of fallen angels. For all nations have drunk of the wine. What? So do you see what happens now? For all nations, and this is one of the reasons that we know it's really the end, because it's not just some. All nations have finally drunk. There are people who are teaching today that everyone has already drunk of it, but according to the Bible and inspiration, that hasn't happened yet. That time is still yet future. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings, that's the civil powers, we just talked about that last week in Revelation 17, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, that's church and state, and the merchants of the earth, that's the wealthy men of the world. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So you have three groups that connect themselves to the papacy. Who's the first group? Apostate Protestantism.
they connect themselves with the papacy, right? And they're already known as Babylon, but they will be fully united with the mother, quote-unquote, the mother church when this time comes that we're looking at here. And then who's the next group? It says, at verse 3, in the latter part of, or the middle part of verse 3, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That's church and state. So it's not just the religious, it's not just the churches, fallen churches that constitute Babylon, that unite with Babylon the Great, but also the civil powers of the earth unite with Babylon the Great. Then it says, not just the civil powers of earth, and not just the fallen churches, but the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. That means the wealthy men of the world. So the men that have the money will unite with this agenda. All right? And in light of this confederation, what goes out? A message that opposes that union. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying. So while the voice is going out, apostate Protestantism calling the people back to the papal system, and the papal system also lending its voice in agreement with apostate Protestantism. The voice is so powerful because demons are working in the background. Satan is working in the background. So as a result, what happens? The whole world, many within the world, unite with the papal system. It's not just the kings, but who the kings rule over. It's not just the merchants, the wealthy men, but who they have influence over. And as that voice is going out, then another voice will go out. And it will be in total opposition to what's taking place in verses 2 and 3. And what does this voice say? I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, that is Babylon, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. In other words, totally disconnect yourself from this agenda of the papal system, apostate Protestantism, the kings of the earth, and the merchants. Disconnect yourself. Because upon these powers, because of their corruption, it's not just the union that's taking place, but it is the purpose for which the union is taking place. The purpose is what? It is deception. The purpose is what? To cause all men and women and children to receive the mark of the beast. The purpose is what? To call men away from their allegiance to God. To call men into apostasy. And to call men into a state where they're in such deep apostasy that their lives are wasted and destroyed. Sin hurts God because it hurts us. Sin hurts God because of what it does to his creation. And so as a result, this is why the judgment comes against the system and whoever's connected with it. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins and that ye receive not of her plagues, which tells us something else. God has his people in these churches. And so this is why, while we must study the prophecies and proclaim them, we must also be very wise in how we proclaim them. And this is something that I've been studying out, looking at the tact and the boldness of Christ, knowing when to speak and when not to speak. And then when he spoke, knowing how to speak, knowing that it's not just about saying, oh, well, I told them the truth, now it's on them. If they reject it, then it's on them. Friends, Christ never worked that way. We may speak of the deep things of the Word of God here, but as we bring it to the people, we have to bring it in wisdom. We may be able to talk about a lot of deep things on this program, on this phone call. But friends, as we begin to share those deep things with the world, we must bring it to them step by step. Sometimes it first just begins with not a word, but a demonstration. That's how Revelation 18 begins, right? A demonstration of the law and the gospel. The self-sacrificing principle of the cross uplifted before the world opens the hearts of people, even in Babylon, that they are then ready to receive the message. And so this is why it is crucial. I've heard many preachers say this, and I've heard many among present truth circles say this, that we just got to give the message. It doesn't matter how we give it. It doesn't matter the attitude that we have when we give it. We need to just shout this message. We need to just give it. And even if we give it in a sour, bitter tone, it doesn't matter. Once we just give this thing, it's on them if they receive it or not. But friends, as we read the spirit of prophecy and we read about the life of Christ, that was not his pattern of ministry. He met men where they were, and even when he spoke the truth to them, when the time was appropriate and the time was right. And of course, sometimes that can be in or out, in season or out of season, as God leads us. But when he gave it to the people, oh my friends, the heart was convicted because of the way in which it was given. It's not just what we say, but how we say it, when we say it. That means we must be truly controlled, guided by the Holy Spirit. Because it takes wisdom to know how to communicate, when to communicate, what to communicate, what not to communicate at a certain point. To know how to meet men in their struggles, men and women and children in their struggles, and not overload them with everything that we know all at once. It has to be given in wisdom. We are told in the book Voice in Speech and Song, there's a compilation of Sister White's writings on how Jesus communicated with others, and also how the reformers communicated and how the pioneers communicated with others. We are told there that it had it not been for the tone of his voice, had it not been for the sympathetic look in his face, countenance of love, even while speaking solemn words, had it not been for the tender kindness of the Savior, many would not have been drawn to him. It was because of all of those things, not just because of what he said, but how he communicated what he said, that the vast crowds came to him and heard what he was saying. This is why, contrary, and I mentioned it, I think, before on this line, contrary to what many people are saying, they're saying, ha, 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 you know, if they show a picture of Joel Osteen preaching and how it's like a megachurch and so many people are in there, and then they say lies about Joel Osteen, right, in that picture. And it's filled, the place is packed. And then they show a picture of where the truth is being preached, and they show like three people in the audience. And the idea that they're communicating is when the truth is preached, it will always be a little bit of people there. But friends, this is not what the ministry of healing tells us. The ministry of healing tells us that there was not enough room in any of the synagogues in Palestine to hold the crowds that came to hear Jesus. Now, I am in no wise promoting mega churches. We are called to plant churches, small groups in different places when it reaches to a certain point to plant again. But friends, I tell you the truth, that as we plant these churches, they should be filled. God is calling us to fill these churches, not for the numbers. No. But because God loves numbers. You know why? Because God loves souls. He's trying to save people. It's not about us having people in the pews. No. And this is not the purpose. It's not just about getting souls baptized so we can say, oh, look at my church, it's filled. No. But it's that God loves souls. He wants as many people saved as possible. Therefore, churches, this is why I'm realizing, churches need to truly check themselves. And I'm saying that as someone who is doing pastoral ministry right now, and I'm observing it and learning that, whoa, at times the churches sometimes have 2, 3, 4, 5 people in it because the principles of Christ and the methods of Christ are not followed. Friends, in Christ, in the crowds that heard Jesus Christ, there were not only believers, we are told. We're told that there were skeptics. There were people who came there just to spy on him and see what he was saying. There were people who came there who were in the valley of decision on the fence. friends, people of all different types and persuasions. They were drawn to the master of all creation. Friends, may we imitate the pattern. And I'm sure that as we do that, whoa, the time will come when the devil will see the sparks of the revival. That time will come. With that, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, that these things made sense. And Lord, as I say these things, I say it to myself because I'm seeing my feelings and the areas in which I truly need to develop and be more loving, be more kind, know when to speak and when to not speak. Know the blessing of not saying anything and being confident that I'm not compromising. Knowing how to operate as Jesus operated and how his apostles operated. Father, I pray that when I do speak, and when we all do speak on this life, that, Lord, you will give us such a countenance that people, when they look at our faces, they see divine love emanating from it. Do this work in us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Sister Leola, you are on? Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Helder Hakeem, for that wonderful, wonderful reminder on the presentation on Matthew and Revelation 18 and all the other scripture, brothers and sisters. We have to give thanks for this message tonight and ask the Lord to help us, right? Because this is a final call as we listen to our brother presenting Revelation 18, right? And Revelation 18 is telling us, as he was speaking a while ago, I was just reading, you know, and even the comment is, after these things I saw another angel come down from the earth and lighten the earth with his glory, right? With his glory. And if the angel come down to lighten the world with his glory, brothers and sisters, you know that God have a message for us to go out and share the word. But we cannot get that message until our life is right with the Lord, so that we will be able to carry out that message. And as our dear brothers said, that God is seeking for souls, and souls are out there. So my determination is to ask the Lord to help us, that we will be obedient to be his representatives to go out and share. I will just open the line up for Sister Leola. Brothers, thank you all, and thank Helder. And Sister Leola will close off. 225-3378. Sister Leola, can you do the closing?
Be going.
Sister Leola, can you keep...
Okay, hold on. I was finishing up. Okay, Sister Powell, you want me to close out in prayer?
Oh, you're not finished. I can finish if you're not.
No, I'm sorry. I had to fix a salad, Sister Powell, and I'm still pretty much
okay.
Finishing it.
All right, Sister Leola. All right, we just want to thank Brother Akin tonight for that presentation again. And brothers and sisters on this line, we are asking you to go back and study the scripture. And when we study the scripture, you know, we have to really share with ourselves and just ask the Lord to help us, that we will be faithful, Lord, to carry out the work. So I just want to thank everyone who joined. And my dear beloved brothers and sisters, remember tomorrow night will be the message of the end of time reading, studying, and we are asking you to join the 701 line. Thank you all for joining tonight. Have a good night and continue to be faithful. Father, we want to thank you once more. Continue to pour your blessings upon us, Lord. You are so good. You are so great to us. Thank you for those blessings, wonderful words of encouragement, dear Lord, that despite the enemy is coming down, we know we have a Savior who promised if we be faithful, he will be faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good night, brother. We just close off with a song.
And silent as light, nor wanting.